Appreciate you staying during your lunch hour. I'm going to lay my clock right up here where I can see it, because like our previous speakers, I have 100 slides to go through, but I'm not going to go through them today. And I've been at this for 40 years, so this is not my first rodeo. And this data is actually coming from 25 years ago, at least. So I want to get into it because I really think it's, I like my title because, you know, sometimes when you ask a consultant that's grid sampling on a 2.5 acre grid, where'd you come up with that number? Magic. There's no justification. There's no scientific justification for that. There's just an economic consideration. So the objective that I'm going to talk about, okay, we were, now this again, this is 25 years ago. So my grid is set out with people and tapes. No GPS, no GIS, people and tapes. So we want to look at a grid size and sampling. And this was on a research farm that we took over at Trivet, Mississippi. And we wanted to know what we had in that field because a farmer who had the field had areas that wouldn't grow anything. So we wanted to evaluate the overall fertility in the area. And then we also wanted to look at, this was an opportunity to look at grids. So that's what I did. And then I got a third objective here that says to compare this to GPS technology. We know where that's going, so I'm not going to even talk about that. This is the farm. This is the Trivet Satellite Farm. We've got about 3 or 4 different soil types in the field that occupy various acres in the field. We set up a grid based on 100 foot by 100 foot areas for the whole area. And you see there's some cells that are in yellow. Those yellow areas were areas in the field that when we sampled, we could not sample because there's water standing. There's something going on that we couldn't sample when we set up the grid. So this is what the areas that we actually, when we went in there, we set up a big grid. Then we overlaid the field onto that grid. So this is what it looks like. Now I went in for this particular talk and I took an area here that's going to have a specific number of cells in a specific area. And this is what we set it up. It's a total of 1,000 feet by 2,000 feet, and it's about 45 acres. And each one of these cells I shifted so that the intersect points become the center of the cell. So I'll work from that. Okay. Now, so we took soil samples around that intersect point. We took samples 0 to 6 and 6 to 12 inches, or we took a 12-inch sample, cut it in half, and composited it. I'm only going to talk about 0 to 6-inch data because there's so much data involved here. But we took the samples, we dried them, we ground them, and they were analyzed through the soil testing lab at Mississippi State University. And the soil values then were assigned to each 100 by 100 foot or 0.23 acre grid. And I'm going to talk a little bit about phosphorus and potassium because that was one of the things that we're really interested in. This figure shows the breakdown of the field based on 100 foot by 100 foot area. So this is a 0.23 acre grid. The red is very low. The blue is high plus. Now notice that, and what's really interesting, okay, if you look at the old soil survey report for this area, which was done a long time ago, this particular area had a lot of different had a lot of houses on it. So where do you think the blue sites are? Houses. They were old farmhouses. So by 100 foot grid, we actually picked those up. So what I did then was to take this, I counted the number of cells that were in each one of the classifications. Our fertilizer rates are based on very low, low, medium. So with very low, we should add 120 pounds of P2O5. So we had 37 cells, 8.49 acres. So we needed a total, and I put this way because I'm going to skip a lot of stuff. But we needed about 25 in terms of pounds of P2O5 per acre to fertilize that 1,000 by 2,000 foot area. Then we went in, okay, now I'm compositing. So this particular one, okay, I take the bottom 4 cells. I composite those into one cell that's now 200 by 200, and I use the numbers and average those numbers to come up with the size that it needs to be. So that is actually an average of 4 cells, not around the center point of that 200 by 200. So it's actually a better estimate of what's going on in there. So now we take the summation of this. okay, we've still got, now we've got 50 cells instead of having the larger number, and we're down to 1,947 pounds of P205 per acre. So we now, when compositing, we're starting to composite things together. Okay, we do the same thing. We go to 300 foot. We take a 9 by 9, or 9 cells that are 300 by 300. And so the cell value there is the average of the 9 cells. Okay, do the same thing again. Now we've got a total of 22.22 cells altogether. The area is still 45 acres. And now we're down to 1,900 pounds of P205. So you see some changes there. Okay, we do the same thing with 400, with 500. This is 1,000 by 1,000. The whole test, if you averaged all of those things together, comes out as a medium. Okay, it's medium. So what happens if it's all a medium? Okay, we apply 40 pounds of P205 per acre. We need 1,837 pounds to fertilize that whole acre. So let's look at a summary here. And I've got the numbers in red on the far right side there. That's a percent of the, what I would call that regular 2.5 acre grid. Only in this case, it's more of a 2 acre grid to a 3 acre grid. But the average there, which is the lowest, we made that as 100. So we ranged from 100% up to 143% of the amount of phosphorus that it would take to fertilize this field, depending on the cell size here. So if you look at that between 2 and 3.6 acres, we're approximately 105% if you average those two of what the lowest would have been in that area. Now we've done the same thing with potassium, and I'm not going to go through all the steps. I'm just going to show you that this is what the field looks like. Again, we've got some blue cells out there, not as many as we had with the phosphorus, but we don't have soap powder left around or dishes or anything else that had phosphorus in it on those old house sites. But we still have a few. We have no very low in this particular situation. So we go through, we do that same process where we're looking at 100 foot, 200 foot, 300 foot, 400, 500. Okay, now, if this is for potassium. Now, for those of you who get confused like me when we talk about K, K2O, and OO60, okay, we talked to a farmer. We want to make sure we're on the same page. So I ended up putting all three of them here just for your convenience. If you like to use K like I do, a farmer likes to use K2O, which doesn't exist, and you can't explain to them why they use K2O in a fertilizer bag. But anyway, if you look at that percent on the far side over here, it only ranges from 100 to 108%. Not nearly as much variability in the field with potassium as we saw with phosphorus, but there is some variability right there. So, okay. Now, I want to summarize, but I want to summarize by asking some questions. Okay, now this treatment three here, the cell that's number three and cell number six, they compose cells 7, 8, 9, 17, 18, 19, 27, 28, 29. Okay, if we were going in and we used that 300 by 300 foot area, which is approximately 2 acres, okay, the average of that would be, in this case, low, okay? Now, if we look down at the bottom, and it's hard for me to look on this screen and see those differences, you can see them a little bit better than I can, but if we were to use the average and fertilize that 300 foot by 300 foot area with the average, we would have been correct 4 out of 9 times. We would have been incorrect 5 out of 9 times. So what I'm saying is, okay, we would either over fertilized or under-fertilized if we use the average. Okay, we look at cell number six. Okay, cell number six, again, it's a composite of 9 input data. Okay, the average is high, green. Okay, we look down at the cells 37, 38, 39, 47, 48, 49, 57, 58, 59. If we use the average, which in this case we'd have put out no phosphorus, we would have been right how many times? 0. The average of those 9 cells didn't equilibrate with any of the 9 cells that went into it. So where would you be there? You'd have been wrong 9 out of 9 times if you'd used the average. Now, I'm just making a point here, that's all. We do the same thing with potassium. We do the same 3 and 6. The same cells that we used before. If we use the average, we would be right 3 out of 9 times. In cell number 6, we used the average. We're incorrect 9 out of 9 times. We're wrong 9 out of 9 times. So what does that tell us in the long run? Well, we know there's spatial variability in that field. The more samples we have, the better we are at sampling that variability. But then, how much can you afford? You know, as a researcher, I can afford more than a farmer can, I promise. Now, when I run out of money, that may not be the case. But anyway, we know there's variability. Compositing samples gives us the best picture of an area, but is it accurate? You know, again, the smaller the cell size. Now, this is in alluvial soils in the Mississippi Delta where we know there's a lot of variability. If you're in the Midwest on a soil that is 4% organic matter and covers 500 acres with the same soil and same soil type, how many samples do you need? 1, 2 maybe at the most, because there's not natural inherent variability there. Okay. You know, the level of sampling will be limited to the cost and must be weighed against the benefits gained from a more precise fertilizer application and use. There's no need to fertilize those blue spots. There's a great need to fertilize. And Kendall just talked about that. You know, if you put the fertilizer where you need it, but how do you define where you need it? Okay, you know, variable rate application do make it possible to apply fertilizer at different rates while on the move, thus adjusting the rates to fit the needs. But you gotta be able to pay for it. Okay, a banker wants to know how you're gonna pay for it. Just like a lot of other things we do, as an applied agronomist, you know, I'm interested for the farmer in how he's gonna pay for it. It can be wonderful, but if he can't pay for it, then he's not gonna adopt it. He's not gonna adapt his practices to that. You know, the use of variable rate has come a long way. Like I say, 25 years ago when I took these samples, we used people and 100-foot tapes. It takes a lot of people and 100-foot tapes to measure off 45 acres of field. But it does give you, and so I think the bottom line here is we have to be able to weigh the cost versus the benefits. We know that the more samples we take, so when you're going into multiple sampling, do you go to the same spot 3 years later, 4 years later, or do you move around in the field? If you're sampling on a 2.5 acre grid, do you move around? You know, that's a question that has to be asked. And then the purpose for sampling. You know, are you looking to make the best better or make the worst better? I think you'll find making the best better is more profitable than trying to make the worst better. Think about that. So with that, you know, there's a pot of gold at the end of there. I've got about 173 days left in my career. So, you know, I thought this was really important, so I'll be happy to answer any questions if we have time. Yes, sir.
I'm curious how you were able to find data from 25 years. I'm curious about that.
I've been there 40 years, and I got 8 file cabinets of data. No, this actually was a presentation that was designed when we first went to posters, made on 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper that I measured onto a poster board that was 4 foot by 8 foot. I've now put it into a size where I can talk to farmers about it easily. But, you know, I think in the long run that zone management is actually the way to go. The use of EC, I'm not an EC fan. I like to use web soil survey. You know, soil types are defined in web soil survey. I think that's a good place to start because they were classified in that zone, which is a soil, based on something, whether it's slope, whether it's color, you know, because a lot of times, and I've done a lot of work with looking at variability in yields, but again, not GPS, but 82 foot long plots, 4 rows wide, 62 strips through the field. times eight, so was that about 500 plots. And what we find is that even a yield map from 1 year, one crop may not match the next crop, and then 2 years later, say you've got a yield map for cotton, they don't match each other either because there was something different about that year. So I've done that for six consecutive years, none of them match, and nothing correlates. You know, most of your, if I've got time, I'm the last speaker, and I'm the only thing between you and lunch. Just remember that. But one of the things that we found is that there was no correlation between any of the soil characteristics and cotton yield except exchangeable acidity, and it was backwards. But the correlation coefficient there was 0.04, terrible. But that was the only thing that was even related. Now with corn, phosphorus was the highest related thing. But if you spend time doing all of this data collection and it doesn't correlate to yield, I think some of the work done in Georgia, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, showed as many as seven different factors influencing spatial variability in the field, one of which was boll weevil, drainage, all of these kind of things come into play. So, but yeah, to answer your question, zone management in my mind is a way to look at this. George. Exactly. Well, and I've had a farmer actually call me one day. He had four soil samples. He didn't like the results on two of them. And he was asking me how accurate were they. I said, well, how big an area are we talking about? He said 500 acres. I said, well, you really don't have anything. I can't help. So, any other questions? Yes, sir.
Just a comment, because I remember a number of years ago, I saw a presentation by a soil scientist in Kansas. And he had done soil samples based on square inch tall. And the variability within that was astounding. I thought, really, how much do we know what's really going on in the field?
And then you're only using a bit of soil that's about this big to analyze the sample with. A teaspoon or a scoop, you know, depends on where you go. Swag.
Exactly.
Any other questions? Look, I really appreciate your time and your attention. Thank you very much.